Guys, we've had such an exciting couple of months and really year that has in some way impacted our nation and even shaped the destiny of nations. And we're going to talk tonight about this crown and throne tour from Rome to Jerusalem. And we're going to hear from James first, and I'm going to share my little piece. But I just want to start out by saying last year, James, when we connected together with you, Jolene, myself, Ed Watts, Jamie Fitt, and we led a team on the Crown and Throne Israel tour, it was absolutely extraordinary to go through. What in the world is that sound? Hold on just a second here. I'm going to see what I can do to. Okay, that's better. On the Crown of Throne Israel tour, we felt led to really focus on Jerusalem and retracing the steps of King David as he restored the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And we knew there was a focus on Jerusalem and a breakthrough in Jerusalem. We had the most amazing time going from place to place, historic sites throughout Israel and historic sites all throughout Jerusalem, worshiping and praying and doing something that is very unusual for most Israel tours. Most of the time you go to a historic site and you hear the history, read from the Bible, and you pray. These guys set up camp there. I mean, they brought in the generators and the sound amplification systems and all their instruments, and we literally stepped into this prophetic worship on site in every place that we went, and heaven's sound was unlocked. Heaven's sound was unlocked, and the wells of the earth seemed to just spring up in response. And I just grew in my appreciation and admiration for James and this team of breaker worshipers. We've always known James for his prophetic art. We've known him for his expressions of worship, but it just came to a whole new level. And I don't think it's any coincidence with the Israel tour that about 7 months later, President Donald Trump decided that he wanted to stand up and align America covenantally with Israel by declaring Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. And literally he went against all diplomatic protocol on a global level in order to do this. And it upset the apple cart. Actually, it righted the apple cart where it was upset. And we're so grateful to see this, but I believe the Lord was quickening to me that there was a dimension of that breakthrough that began as governmental leaders from America came into alignment with God's covenant with Israel through that tour. And so I just want to say that as we begin to dialogue about this Rome to Jerusalem tour, there's something beyond what we understand. As forerunners, we're called to forerun a new reality, but we don't often know what that reality fully is. And we don't know how it's going to impact our world. We just know that God has called us to do this tour and to stand together and worship in Rome and go from Rome to Jerusalem. So we're so honored, James, to have you with us. It was a delight to pray with you today at the Museum of the Bible. Just an amazing time and a time of breakthrough. And we're really excited to hear from you. So welcome, James Nesbitt. The Lamplighter family welcomes you.
Thank you, John. It was a wonderful, wonderful time with you today at the Bible Museum. And I was very grateful to be with you and to stay in your home last evening. And I'm excited about what Father has for us this year. Just to step back a moment, before we went to Israel last year, a guy named Bob Hazlitt was visiting our city in Alabama, and I went to the meeting, and he began to prophesy over me something. He said very strange for him. He didn't use the word shofars and angels, but he said the Lord, it must be important to you because the Lord says that there are shofars and angels drawing you to Jerusalem, and he has an impartation waiting for you there. That whenever he says you, that means us. That was everybody that he had drew, those eight keys, those people who from the nations of the earth joined that journey. He had an impartation waiting for us, and not just for the people on that journey, but we were portals, so to speak, for the rest of the body and family whom we're all connected. Because it's a body thing. And so that journey to Jerusalem last year in Israel, the Lord imparted us for a deeper work for this year. Because a part of his prophetic word to me last year after that was, and I see you going from holy city to holy city, from Rome to Jerusalem. And then so then we're knowing that we're on a prophetic mandate and assignment from the Lord. And so since that time, each one of us has been picking up nuggets of revelation of what that assignment is looking like and will look like. And I so appreciate you, John, and the depth that you have and the insight that you bring. And even you and Jolene going to Rome on your way home from Israel last year to just begin to prepare the way for this year. And then Ed Watts, he's another guy who just he carries a heavy load of stuff, well armed. And then and then Jamie, we all know that Jamie is just a gifted Holy Ghost piece of lightning with his brother Jonathan Thunder behind him. But as you and I were standing today, I knew that part of my portion, my heart's desire was to go to the catacombs in Rome and connect and honor the worship of all those who, the first church that worshiped there. But as you and I were standing today in the Bible Museum concerning those paintings of the Colosseum, it just came alive in me about how the those who were martyred there and people who represent the bloodlines in those seats in that stadium that are still in existence today, those people put their thumbs down in order to say, we agree with the death that's happening here.
Right.
And so even when we go to Rome this year, our heart is to lift those thumbs up in the Spirit through mercy so that all those bloodlines can be free, awakened to what Father has for them. And so a portion of our journey is, every time we go somewhere, is to unlock family trees and bloodlines to be able to see what darkness has stolen from them and shrouded from them. And so that just came alive as you and I stood there together today at the museum. So you want to say something about that or whatever is on your heart now?
Yeah, well, I felt the same, James. And just for clarity's sake, at the Museum of the Bible, there's a special exhibit that included amazing paintings from ancient Rome. And there was a painting of the Roman Colosseum where, of course, you know, so many of our forefathers were fed to the lions just for the pleasure of Caesar. And right next to it was an amazing painting of Capitol Hill. The original Capitol Hill is not, of course, in Washington, D.C. I'm looking out over it right now. The original Capitol Hill was in Israel. I mean, it was in Rome. And Ed Watts mentioned on our webcast the other day how really the idea of national capitals began with Rome. And they set a precedent for the nations that continues to this day. And our Capitol Hill, in fact, much of our even the layout and the architecture of the buildings in Washington, D.C., laid out according to the ancient Roman model. So we are going to go from capital to capital, and we will be having an amazing coordinated prayer strike, if you will, striking in prayer the capital of Rome, Jerusalem, and really capitals throughout the United States of America, all 50 capitals, all 50 state capitals, and many, many nations are gathering, joining on to this. We're going to pray and lay claim to those capitals by covenant, all on the same day. So that's going to be one aspect of this gathering that's going to be carried out, a mission being carried out internationally and nationally. We're working with David Bradshaw and the Awaken the Dawn crew to coordinate this as they do worship on site at each state capital. So we're going to just peg in for God's glory. We're going to peg in God's glory and declare that these capitals belong to Jesus by covenant and that he's tabernacling over us. That's one aspect of this forerunning prayer journey that God's calling us to. And James, let me just interject here that, because you referenced it, on our own journey after the Crown and Throne Israel tour, we were asked by the Lord to go back to Washington, D.C. via Rome. And so I talked with James and Jamie and Ed about this, and, you know, James's eyes got really wide because he just had received this prophetic word by Bob Haslett calling him to go from holy city to holy city, from the seven mountains to the seven mountains. And so we really, really felt like God was saying something beyond just an individual mission, but that even this next journey from Rome to Jerusalem is an extension. It's like the next phase of this crown and throne journey that we initiated back in March of last year as we retraced David's steps in restoring the Ark of the Covenant. And, of course, for us, we really started that journey last April, but we culminated that journey in America during Revolution 2017, going to America's Ark of the Covenant, which is the Museum of the Bible. We hear that prophetically. And so really what began in Israel was solidified in America. And isn't that how it always is? You know, if you put Israel first, in the joining of Israel and America, you get I am. If you put America first, you get AI. And we don't want to be in that AI expression that gets defeated. We want to partner with I am. That's how Moses knew God, is I am. I am that I am. He saw the burning bush, and God spoke to him out of the burning bush, I am. And I think this is really, really significant, because when we went to Rome, there's a lot of static and stuff on here, but when we went to Rome, Jolene and I, for the first time, got to tour the Vatican, got to tour the Vatican Art Museum. We went into the Sistine Chapel and St. Peter's Basilica. We toured the Roman grounds, including the Colosseum and Capitol Hill. And we went to this one gate. It's called the Titus Gate, the Titus Arch. And I looked over at the Titus Arch and just began to weep, because the Titus Arch pictures exiles from Israel coming into Rome in defeat and subjugation, carrying the menorah from the temple, the very menorah that stood in the Temple Mount and stood in the temple, the menorah that was lit 24/7, the fire on the altar must never go out, the menorah that probably went out. This is probably the menorah that went out during Judah Maccabees' time, and he and the Maccabees overcame the strongest army in the known world to relight that lamp, to reconsecrate the temple to the Lord. That menorah of consecration to the Lord, the consecration of the temple to the Lord, that picture of the burning bush in our day, I mean, the menorah is patterned after the imagery of the burning bush when God encountered Moses. That menorah was taken into Rome, and they made a huge victory arch the Titus Arch commemorates the destruction of Rome and the conquest of Rome and the subjugation of the people, the Jewish people, as they entered into Europe through this Roman gate in subjugation, defeat, and prejudice. And to some extent, that prejudice and subjugation has carried through in decade after decade, century after century, through both the Catholic expression of Christianity and the Protestant expression of Christianity. Jews were subjugated, marginalized. They have a covenant with God. They are blessed in amazing ways, and yet that blessing was robbed from them. They were expelled from nation after nation. They were forced to convert in such an unholy way. They were plundered from nation to nation, and this plundering culminated ultimately in the most sophisticated nation in Western Europe succumbing to Nazi supremacy and literally bringing 6 million Jewish people to their deaths in the concentration camps of Auschwitz, Birkenau, and Treblinka, and on and on. So I really felt this holy conviction as I looked at the people of God, the covenant people, coming into Europe in subjugation and defeat, being expelled during the diaspora to really the four corners of the earth, and carrying the temple menorah into Rome. The menorah that represents God's covenant with his people, I am, the menorah that represents God's glory, the menorah that represents the lampstand, really even of our faith, and that lampstand when Constantine came along and he, when he embraced Christianity, he basically took that menorah, if you will, symbolically, and severed that menorah, the burning bush, from its covenant roots in Israel, and replanted that menorah in the soil of Rome and connected it with the roots of paganism, unfortunately. Many good roots, but unfortunately there are many pagan roots that the lampstand of our faith got connected to. And so we come up with this extraordinary mixture. And as I was looking at this Titus Arch, guys, I just felt so strongly that God wanted to take back his menorah, his lampstand. And I felt like he wanted to replant the menorah, the lampstand, in the soil of Jerusalem once again. And that's the lampstand even of our faith. You know, we've been grafted into the covenant of the Jewish people. And this menorah, I believe, represents an apostolic shift as we have received, to whatever measure, governmental authority to do this, to restore the lampstand from Rome to Jerusalem and honor Jerusalem as the city that God has chosen for his footstool, that God has chosen as his earthly throne, his throne on earth as it is in heaven. And I really believe that by engaging in this journey, Rome's own lampstand is going to be greatly, greatly empowered with a level of purity that it has not seen before. But I believe the Lord wants to restore the menorah and the lampstand of apostolic Christianity to the roots of our faith, really reconnected in the soil of Jerusalem, the soil of our Jewish roots. And he wants to bring one new man together for such a time as this. I want to say one more thing, and James, we'll just keep flowing here. But most of you know that the Lord compelled me to write a book. I started with a posting and ended up with a book in time for Revolution. The book's called Midnight Cry. And it's all about how God is releasing a midnight cry that awakens the bride. She, in Matthew 25, she tends her lamp or her lampstand. She cultivates it, she lights the lamp, and she goes out to meet the bridegroom. And where does she go? She goes into the streets. She goes on a journey that culminates ultimately in Jerusalem. And this is the end of the end of days when Jesus himself returns to Mount Zion. And the Bible talks about the glory being a bridal canopy. And he talks about this amazing wedding that's going to be occurring in Jerusalem under the bridal canopy. Tabernacles. The tabernacle is an expression of the chuppah, the bridal canopy that where bridegroom and bride are joined together. And in some way, I believe that God is even bringing this reunion of the menorah and the lampstand in Jerusalem this year as a forerunning witness of that ultimate end time expression. We're gonna light our lamp and we're gonna go out to meet the bridegroom from Rome to Jerusalem, and we're gonna come under that bridal canopy of his tabernacle and be joined with him and in him joined with each other. So there's a release of this burning lamp awakening across the nation and across the nations that's going to occur. And simultaneously, we see this release of the tabernacles movement. And he is joining them together, the burning lamp movement and the tabernacles movement this year in Jerusalem under the bridal canopy as the apostolic witness of our lampstand is restored to Jerusalem in honor of the King of Kings who cut covenant with his people there and who ultimately the covenant brought him to the cross where he shed his blood and body to seal this covenant. So we are joined with him forever and our sins are washed away. So this is what I feel like God is saying, James, and I'm overwhelmed that we even get the honor of taking part in this. You know? So whatever you feel to share, man.
Well, just as you were speaking, you know, it was 70 AD that we all know whenever Rome laid waste to Jerusalem. And now here in the 70th year, we get to go from Rome carrying glory.
James, I never saw that before.
To Jerusalem. You know, where they took devastation back to that city. Now we're saying the blood of the Son, we're releasing the glory of the Lord back from there and carrying praise and worship. That he is King of Kings and restoring all things. And so we get to carry in honor that sound going to Rome for Rome's future as well. I mean, God's got something planned for it, but it's much more than they've ever been or ever known in his mercy. And so we get to carry that sound of mercy back to Jerusalem. And I didn't see it either, John, until you were speaking just then and the Lord showed us. And that's what he's been doing, everyone, is just step by step. Like today when we were, John and I were before that painting of the Colosseum, we're getting pieces now. And that's the way he does it. The closer you get, the more pieces he'll begin to unfold. And as you agree with us and own the journey with us in prayer, some of you'll be on it, and some of you'll be on it. Some of you'll be on it physically with your feet, but some of you'll be with us in the spirit, praying for it and preparing for it and covering us that way. So we're all in this together, whether you actually go on the tour physically or not. You're on tour with us. And so we bless you in that and the light that you'll receive as we proceed here. So we bless you in your intercessions.
James, that is extraordinary. I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
No, go ahead, John. I'd like to shift whenever the time is right to the living testimony called the Bible Museum for a moment, if we could, whenever you.
Yeah, please go ahead. I am overwhelmed right now with that revelation. 70 AD is when the diaspora occurred, and the defeat of Jerusalem, and the people went into exile to Rome with the gate basically memorializing that exile and diaspora. And here, this is the 70th anniversary of the rebirth of Israel, and we are invited to bring the lampstand back for tabernacles in Israel this year. I just the weight of that thing is hitting me, James, so thank you.
Yeah, and so, Father, what we'd like to do is just stop and say thank you. Thank you, Father, for honoring us to get to carry glimpses of your purpose and your light. So we bless you, God. We just thank you for who you are and your plans for every bloodline in the earth, Lord. Thank you for your restoration plan and for what you've got prepared for Israel's seventh birthday party. Lord, we're praising you for all every bloodline, Jewish bloodline in the earth, wherever they're at. Light them up tonight, Father, with revelation. And Lord, just the way you've been lighting us up with revelation this evening, thank you for every person on this phone call that they have revelation that you have prepared to release to them tonight as well. We're thanking you for it being a night of great lighting up through the blood of the Son. Thank you, Father. Thank you for a night of solutions, Lord, and answers and pieces coming together.
Amen. I agree, James. So switch gears. Go forward with the museum, man.
Well, I just don't know that everybody on this phone call realizes what Father has done in our capital. He has constructed a gate of an embassy of heaven. And I think the people who built it don't even realize what they've built. It's the place where the covenant is honored in our land, probably in the earth, with the written word of the Lord and the history of the word of the Lord and the impact of the word of the Lord represented in the strongest way, I believe, anywhere in the earth, in one building like that. But we need to know that the living word, it's not a museum. The word is living word. It's alive as we honor and give faith and add our faith to it. So we need to know that living word, also angels were a part of its release all along. They have a year after year of its history and also its impact on our nation. So angels that were moving in those time frames, they are alive and active moving, and that building is actually a portal for, it's a landing strip of angels. I think even Fazl Malik said that is a landing strip, and so I would just want to fill you guys with insight and revelation to own that museum, and make it in your hearts alive now, because the angels are waiting for activation from the saints of the living God. And our capital has never dealt with a building where the word of the Lord is speaking and burning and on fire, and angels are present in it like it is now. But it takes the sons of God, knowing who they are in Christ, knowing that he's God of the angel armies, and we're moving. It's a dance of the two camps, us moving and releasing what he shows us to release, and the angels moving in our release. So, Father, we praise you tonight for, and what we're really asking Father to do with that museum of the Bible is cause every soul who he sends to work there to be caught on fire with the revelation of who he is and what's really there. So, God, we bless every soul that you have that have privilege of working there. It's not just a business. It's not just an assignment. It's something you're doing in our nation. You, as John has said, it's the Ark of the Covenant, and these people are tending the Ark. And so, God, we bless every soul that's working there now,
yes,
that will work
I
there
agree.
Now. God, we thank you for every strategy of the enemy to try to diminish or choke or cause confusion or strife in among the employees there. We're praising you tonight for heaven stepping its foot down and angels of the Lord bursting out of that building and God and ministering across our nation into the capitals. From that place of the Ark seated in our capital now. And so as you guys begin to pray into this in the coming days, you're going to get revelation concerning the museum of the Bible. I even hate the word museum. It's much more than a museum, my friend. It's alive. It's a living well of living water. And so my heart just burns for that place. So, John,
yeah, James. I saw it in your eyes from the moment we took that tour. Our friend Shannon Bennett took us on a prayer tour from the bottom to the top, and we prayed this about a year ago, year and a half ago. It was really 1 year ago during Revolution 2016. And, man, I saw you guys light up. You and your son Isaac just lit up with fire, and you just – looking around and seeing really the fruit of your prayers. Many of you in the Lamplighter family are new to this connection, and so
You probably don't know the history, but back in 2011, July 4th, 2011, we gathered on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and presented the Lord with the Declaration of Covenant, asking God to grant us the full divorce from Baal and full restoration of covenant with Jesus Christ, separated from all idolatry. And we held to a prophecy Rick Ridings gave that God was going to crack the hard shell of demonic resistance over Washington, D.C. 50 days later in August 23rd of 2011, an unprecedented earthquake rocked Washington, D.C., cracked the Washington Monument, and God did as only he could do. He conveyed to us with signs following that covenant with Jesus Christ was restored as a nation. The legal foundation for the turnaround that we have been granted as a nation is it comes from the divorcement of Baal and restoration of covenant. And I guess it was like a month later, right, James? A couple months later that you started 50 days of nonstop worship in Washington, D.C. Well, it was 40 days, wasn't it? D.C. 40.
October
and then another 10 days. October 2nd is when you started.
Mm-hmm.
And tell that story a little bit, because this is an investment in the capital, and whenever you make an investment and the Lord tells you to make an investment in an assignment or in the dream of his heart for your territory, for whatever, the Lord exponentially increases your authority and sends you, you know, on assignments that literally sets the course for the rest of your life. I mean, I found that to be true. James, I think you have too.
Yes. Before I talk about that, I was seeing while you were speaking then is whenever that earthquake happened, that 5.8 earthquake happened, we need to know and we need to own it that tremor has not stopped. And even today, we're seeing the shaking of the release of text. We're seeing memos that are uncovering what is
right
that nation and keeping false things in power and corruption in power. They are now, the shaking has not stopped and it will not stop. Because Father is right in the midst of this. So God, we pray tonight for everybody who's involved now in revealing. God, we thank you for their protection. God, we thank you for your grace upon them. Those who are using now in hidden places to uncover things that the enemy thought, and people in their pride and haughtiness thought they could never be touched or this could never come to light. But it is coming to light. And we bless you for that. So our part of that, I was standing beside John in 2010 with 50 leaders, and the Lord spoke to my heart that this Washington, D.C. needed a siege laid to it. I opened my eyes, and John looks at me, and he says, you know, James, this city needs a siege laid to it. Well, I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, but I knew that was the Lord speaking to me. And so whenever you listen, this is a teaching moment for you. You will be in meetings, and the Lord will drop something in your heart. And once he does that, you ponder that as Mary pondered in her heart what the Lord told her about the birth of the Savior. But as you ponder these assignments in your heart, they will begin to grow in you. And he will anoint you and give you favor as you just step in the next step of obedience that he shows you. He's growing in you the assignment and the authority to carry out the assignment. So as that begins, I went to Washington, D.C. to see if I could share my vision. Nobody knew me, and so nobody invited me to come to the church. But one little lady named Terry Mullins in the ghetto, she said, James, we pray every Friday night. We gather city children and pray all night for the Lord to come to Washington, D.C. When I heard your heart, I believe you're an answer to our prayer. Will you come and worship in the ghetto for 40 days? Well, nobody else asked me to come, so that's the place that we went. And there it was there where the Lord ruined us. We all were doing our like we had always done them. But the Lord said, I don't want your songs. I don't want a lot of words. I want you to sing holy to me, and I'll show you what to sing out of that. What he was birthing within us was the sound of the new day. It was the sound of governmental worship. And get over this stuff about waiting at the outer court and then going to the court. No, the Holy of Holies. He said, "Boldly, come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy to help in your time of need." When we join what the four living creatures are singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come," you will be surprised how fast the glory fills your room. And that's what he did with us 40 days. And then he would lead us in on daily on things he wanted prayed for in Washington, D.C. And then after that, now you all have got assignments you're going to come to Washington, D.C. with, or in your state capital, or wherever he leads you to go. And we bless you in it with eyes to see and confidence to know that it's Father who's speaking to you to do these things. You were formed and fashioned to do them. And we bless you to do it.
I agree, and you know, many people that are on this call have been already to D.C. Many have been to David's tent. After the 40 days in D.C. and then 10 days additionally in Philadelphia, but during the 40 days in Washington, D.C., James felt led to basically hand the key over to a young firebrand named Jason Hershey. And so that lamppost church that is in the middle of Anacostia, Jason began to bring his YWAM expression of the house of prayer into that building. And I'll never forget being invited by Jason. I was picking up Rick Ridings to come bring Rick and Patty Ridings down to the opening of the Washington House of Prayer in this building where James and his friends established 40 days of nonstop worship along with on-site prayer in various different places. And so I picked up Rick and Patty, brought them down. Rick is from Jerusalem, you know, from Sukkot Hillel in Jerusalem. He's going to consecrate and commission this new work. And he starts with 40 minutes of nonstop prophetic release talking about how the earthquakes aren't going to stop, James, and how as the Lord ushered in the harp and bowl movement in the previous decade, the Holy Spirit emphasized the harp and the bowl from Revelation 5:8. Remember, the earthquake measured 5.8 on the Richter scale. God is now going to release in the next decade a revelation of the crown and throne from the same passage, Revelation 5:8. Kingly governmental worship and intercession that shakes the gates, the governmental gates of this city. And he prophesied that it is going to be a global movement in the commissioning of this house of prayer. And of course, the Washington House of Prayer has since, during the Rick also prophesied that Jolene and I were called to come down and assist in this and help carry the torch of this movement. We were invited by Jason to move into an apartment that he had leased, and we ended up in Washington, D.C. in 2 weeks in 2012, and we have been here sustained by God ever since. During the time that Jason and I put together a solemn assembly for the city, the first few months, Jason had the vision to establish David's tent. And David's tent was established on the White House Ellipse originally, where James, you, and Jolene and myself and a few other leaders, the Lord highlighted to us that that was the place where he was calling the epicenter of Washington, D.C., and we just walked around that ellipse silently, praying just internally, and felt like we were kind of unlocking something as we circled it. And within 6 months, Jason Hershey gets a vision for David's tent on the national, on the ellipse, and it has since grown. It is now 24/7 on the National Mall. So it's interesting how these assignments release many others in the body of Christ into their lives, their callings, expressions of God's heart that really nobody has considered before. And
I've seen this even in our latest journey in Israel, and I believe we're going to see this catalytically as we go from Rome to Jerusalem this time around. It's time for you to light your lamps and come out and meet the bridegroom. And personally, you're going to see the fire of the Holy Spirit illuminating your human spirit in a whole new way. You're going to grow. You're going to be faced with challenges that will make you step into this new move of faith. And you'll be surrounded by a community of friends that are going hard after Jesus and protecting each other, loving each other. And it's amazing how quickly you become family in these assignments that we take on together. And we just want to emphasize, as this is an assignment for James and me and Jamie Fitt and Ed Watts, some of you, it is an assignment from the Lord, and we take your assignment seriously. We want your voice to be heard. We want you to fulfill everything God's called you to do. You might not be gifted on the microphone with either praying or singing, but you might be an incredible dancer. You might be an intercessor. You might be one of those ones who just carries things in the spirit your primary voice is heard before the throne, but when you speak, heaven thunders. Whatever this is, however we collaborate together, we just love to be made strong by whatever joint supplies, right? I mean, that's what this thing's all about. So, go ahead, James.
I'm just stay lying here and
okay.
Listening to what you're doing, John. So, thank you, Father.
We want to extend an invitation to each one of you as the Lamplighter family to join us for Rome to Jerusalem. Now, I want to get into some logistics real quickly. And then I feel, James, we need to kind of shift into some prayer. Kim Driver has a very urgent prayer request that I hope she's still on the line. And we'll get to that in a minute. It's regarding the Middle East. But I just want to give you some logistics. This is not an inexpensive trip, and I want to say that almost apologetically. But in order for us to do what we're called to do, we have to go to Israel during the time when the prices are very expensive. And so the price for the entire tour, for airfare, lodging, landing in Rome and then going from Rome to Tel Aviv, and we're going to be going for 3 days in Rome. You will see everything you'd ever want to see in Rome, and we will not just be on site with a historic message, but we will be worshiping as wherever possible on site and just gleaning from the Lord. You're going to see the place where the Christians were martyred in mass in the Colosseum. And you're going to see the catacombs where Christianity went underground, and this underground movement soon overtook the known world. You're going to go to Vatican City and see some of the masterpieces that literally defined the Western world and defined Christianity in the Western world, because since so many people were illiterate, the primary way in which vision was communicated and biblical principles were communicated was through art. And there is no place in the world that exemplifies the beauty of God and the beauty of His creation through art like Rome. It is just absolutely extraordinary. Rome and Florence and Venice, and James, I know you're talking about maybe an art tour next year. But this is something sacred that I think Protestant Christianity kind of did away with. And James, you're exemplary even of a new breed of forerunner who's bringing the beauty of God as expressed in His creation back to His people. Hi, baby.
Yeah, I just want to pray something. I want to say something and then pray something. I feel very strongly that the Lord wants everyone to change their perspective, not on what it costs, Even in hearing the stories of people, the Lord's talking right now about people's obedience to do what it is he desires them to do. And basically, when Rick Ridings came and said, you know, we needed to move to D.C., we had no idea, you know, and it cost us a lot to do that. We gave up our home, you know, I can't even tell you the amount of things that we gave up to go do that. But our perspective is clearer in hindsight, recognizing all the amazing things as you guys rehearse the story, James, of what God did in your life, how your obedience on one move led to this, which led to this, which led to David's tent, which led to us going. I mean, the obedience in doing one thing has opened up his entire destiny, and I would say that that is basically true for us as well. So yeah. I think that the Lord does want you to come to him and ask, and he has plenty of money to provide for every one of us. He has plenty of money, and this is not about what it costs, and because many times things cost a lot, but we'll be surprised in obedience that the Lord will have people come and bring money to you. He will have people support you. He will have people come from the east, the north, the south, the east, and west, and it'll be surprising and almost a fun little game that the Lord will play with people to allow them to come on this trip. And our view has to be the act of obedience. And just hearing the testimony of our story and the testimony of James Nesbitt's story about the obedience that we do on one step has unlocked a national breakthrough. But we had no idea when we made that step that that was what was behind it. And I just want to pray and us pray into the fact that people's obedience is going to unlock their destiny on even just this move.
Go for it, sweetheart. Go ahead and lead us in prayer, and then I'll provide details, and we'll shift.
So, Lord, we just come to you now, and, Father, I just see your eyes sparkling. I see how happy you are, and Lord, you want to unlock people's destinies. You want to for people to hear your voice clearly. And Father, I thank you that this is a game that you're going to play with your people. And when we set a goal, and we set a goal to go somewhere and something that seems even supernaturally like, unless the Lord comes, it's unable to do it. Lord, you are shifting man in this season out of what we can do in our own energies, our own resources, into watching you do things in the supernatural realm. So, Father, I see the glint in your eye as you're playing a game with your people and you're showing them. Forget what you can do on your own. Forget what's in your bank account. Forget and watch me. And, Lord, I just understand that we all need to be responsible and we all need to know. But, Lord, I ask for a word from you, that we will step forward on a word from you, Lord Jesus, that you will speak loud and clear, and then, Lord, it'll be an exciting, fun process to watch you fill people's bank accounts. And that is my faith, and I come into agreement with that in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. And behind that, I would like to say that, Father, we repent again for any poverty thinking that's tried to trap through our bloodlines and control us even now. So through the blood of the Son, we put your blood over any thinking that we've carried, and we're thanking you for what John Stolling just opened up, thanking you for opening up our hands, and we lift up our arms to you and say, Abba, thank you for playing this game with us. And it's a game of enjoying the king who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We bless you, Father, that our feet are untwined and unchained from poverty and from fear of lack through the blood of the Son.
Amen.
Yeah, we gave up some things to move down here, but We've
look
had
at what
the honor
he did.
To see history defined, redefined, and we've had the honor of walking with each one of you as a Lamplighter family, walking together into this journey that just seems to increase exponentially with every step we take. And it's amazing, James, it's amazing, Jolene, how so many other people's destinies have been unlocked in conjunction with this continually unfolding assignment that really can be defined as this crown and throne movement.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. We gave up nothing. All God has done is increase. So that's why I'm saying we need a word from the Lord and we need to be obedient.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And James, this, you know, it was in D.C. that you received the new sound and the mandate on how to move forward in this new sound, this crown and what's now being called crown and throne worship, and you're going from capital to capital, from
yes,
Washington D.C. This has opened
yes.
this whole thing up. So
yes.
it's really an amazing journey. Someone should write a book on this.
It continues to, even as we were rehearsing tonight, you know how it is, John, you see things clearer than you've seen them because of the rehearsing of the faithful and how he's even intertwined our steps, because we were in that little, you called it the Bethlehem stable when we were there.
Yes, sir.
Remember, and so it was a birthday.
It sure was, wasn't it? So listen, guys, the price for the journey is $5,500. And it's great that we have 6 months or so to raise funds or, you know, and make sure everything's in order for us to secure this. But we need to have the initial deposit by March 5th. And we're asking for a deposit of $700 to secure your place. The reason why we're moving so early on this, number one, we want to give you enough time that you can make reasonable monthly payments into this and get it paid off in a way that is as unburdensome to you as possible. But the other reason is because hotels in Jerusalem are already filling up and the prices are going up for the time in during Tabernacles. Now, we'll be in Jerusalem for Tabernacles, and we're also going to be going throughout Israel. So you'll have not just a tour of the most incredible sites in Rome, but you will also have an amazing tour of Jerusalem and Israel. So we'll have details on all that ahead, but you can go to our website. Just even the post today actually connects you to the webcast and some other material for you. And we'll have information on how to register within the next couple of days. I just didn't post it today. My apologies on that. But I will have that hopefully tomorrow for you. So we just believe you, God. Five is a number of grace, and you're saying grace, grace. And we are asking for the fullness of your grace and the fullness of your provision for each and every person that desires to come. I thank you that you are establishing your covenant with us. And, Lord, this is a year of the door. And you've said to go through the gate, to go through the door, and to trust you for the breakthrough, because beyond that door is a whole new vista that you've called us to. So we just receive the faith right now to go through the door, to go through the gates and prepare the way of the Lord from Rome to Jerusalem, to see the capitals from Rome to Jerusalem and Washington, D.C., and every state capital and the 70 nations of the earth, the 70 original nations that were prophesied, were just laying claim to your governmental authority to establish your covenant in each of these capitals. And Father, above all else, we want your lampstand restored, the lampstand of first love devotion, the lampstand of our passion for you. We want your lampstand in us to blaze, and we want the lampstand that was brought into Rome in captivity to be restored to Jerusalem as a burning witness of your covenant with us and the nations. And we thank you. You're giving us courage to hear the midnight cry, to awaken, to set a course of action, to tend our lampstands and go out to meet you for this destination wedding in Jerusalem over tabernacles in the name of Jesus Christ.
Honey.
Go ahead.
People are asking for actual dates on the calendar. If you could just announce what the actual dates are on the calendar, not on the Jewish calendar.
Yeah, it's on our posting today, so you can go to our website, johnandjolene.us, and just pull up the posting, but I will give you the specific dates. The dates are September 25th through October 7th. September 25th through October 7th of 2018.
Thank you.
James, anything to add?
No, sir. It's been a wonderful call, John. Thank you for inviting me.
It's been powerful. I'd like you to stay on the line, and if you can, yep, we'll keep praying.
I'm here.
But Lord, we seal this in Jesus' name.